Today on Courage.
I started using marijuana and drinking alcohol when I was about 11 years old. And then I graduated, you know, as the years went on, I graduated to cocaine, and then ultimately I started using heroin.
A second chance at life. One man's journey with drug addiction and a deadly virus. Hear him open up about the darkest day of his life.
I confronted the man, and things got out of hand. And what ended up as starting out as a fist fight culminated with me taking his life. I ended up stabbing him to death.
Serving 15 years to life behind bars. Hear how this convicted murderer kicked addiction and turned his life around within the prison walls.
I was able to take all that negative stuff and turn it into a positive. That I was able to say, okay, this is who you were, but this isn't who you have to be for the rest of your life. This isn't who you were born to be. You were born to be somebody else.
All this and more today on Courage. Welcome to Courage. I'm Brenda Snow. And wow, first I want to say thank you for the overwhelming response to Courage. So many of you have been sharing these stories with your friends and your family on Facebook. It's just incredible. And I've also got the most heartwarming emails, and I'm just so incredibly moved by your support and your commitment to celebrating the courage of others. So I'm humbled. Thank you very much. And that's really the point of the show, is to encourage you. But to be honest with you, getting all of this support and this wonderful feedback has really been encouraging me. So that's kind of special. Now, let me tell you about this episode, a little bit different. In the past, we brought you stories about cancer, caregiving, a little bit about my journey with MS. But today, I'm going to introduce you to Angel. And you'll quickly find out that courage comes in many shapes and sizes. But sometimes, courage is simply having the power to forgive. Doctors diagnosed Angel with hepatitis C after years of really heavy drug use. Angel's story is one of true redemption and courage. He's a convicted murderer who's been given a second chance. The first half of Angel's life was defined by death and destruction. It's what he's doing with the next chapter that makes him courageous. So I'm happy to bring you Angel's story. Let's take a look. Hi, Angel.
Hi, Brenda. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad that you're here.
Me too.
I think your name sums up a lot about who you are. And today I have you here on Courage to talk about your hepatitis C. And I know there's over 6 million people in the United States that are living with hepatitis C. Some of them know it, some of them don't. Tell me, first of all, how you contracted hepatitis C.
Well, when I was about 11 years old, I started dabbling in drugs. I had some cousins who were much older, and curiosity being what it was, and their discernment not being, you know, on point, yeah, they introduced me to drugs. So I started using marijuana and drinking alcohol when I was about 11 years old. Mm-hmm. By the time I was 13, I started to use like other types of drugs like LSD, amino nitrates. And then I graduated, you know, as the years went on, I graduated to cocaine, and then ultimately I started using heroin. Mm-hmm. And I started to experiment, and ultimately I started to inject drugs.
Yeah.
I was involved in gang lifestyle, mm-hmm, but at the same time, I was living a double life because I'm doing things on the street, but when I'm home, I'm going to school. I graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. I would come home and do my homework and then just hit the streets. But the moment I walked out the door, it was a totally different person that walked out that door. Mm-hmm. You know, in the house I was Angel, in the streets I was Lucky. Mm-hmm. And so it was two different individuals.
Mm-hmm. And tell me what happened. I know there's one very bad day using drugs. Can you, is it okay? Can you share that with me?
At this point in my life, this was 1981. I was 17, going on 18, and I had just gotten tired of the gang life and running the streets and I was starting to get tired of using the drugs, so I decided to go to the military. So I was going to go to the Air Force. And so I decided to do one last hurrah. Mm-hmm. And so I started smoking marijuana, drinking some alcohol, and, you know, doing a bag.
Going up to heroin.
And what happened was this individual came up my street, and he said something disrespectful to a girl that I was having some relationship with. And I confronted the man, and things got out of hand. And what ended up as starting out as a fist fight culminated with me taking his life. I ended up stabbing him to death. That became a real turning point in my life because I got arrested and I was charged with murder in the second degree and I got convicted. And I was sentenced to 15 years to life.
Mm-hmm. And you go to prison and that's not even enough of a wake-up call, was it?
Not for the first five years. I continued to get high in prison.
Which is also amazing to me. You're not, you know, I guess from my perspective, you're not supposed to be able to continue that behavior when you're incarcerated.
Exactly.
But I guess it exists.
More widespread than most people think.
So what was that turning point for you, I guess, when you said, okay, enough of this. Like, Angel, this is not the dude that you are. This is not who you want to be. You have got to try to get some of your life back and make this right.
I think what happened was I was on my way to the yard to go and exercise. It was a very sunny day, very nice. But for some reason, I don't know, I was attuned to something. I don't know what it was. The point is that when the officer opened the door, I saw the sun, a ray of light shining on one of the oldest men in the prison. And this guy was like 72 years old. Mm-hmm. And I knew the old timer, and he had told me a story that he had been going in and out of youth homes and prisons since he was 9 years old. It's like this beam of light was just talking to me. And I just stood there in the doorway and I started to cry. And I remember because the officer came up to me and he says, "You are right." And I kept telling him, "I can't do this. I'm not gonna be him. I can't be him." Mm-hmm. I said, "I cannot waste my life. I got 15 years to life. That means I have a chance to get home. But I need to make a decision now." I said, "Listen, I need to go to college. Do you have an education program here? Can you tell me, do they have college?" He said, "Yes, we have a college." I said, "So can you get me to see a counselor? I need to see a counselor right now. If not, I'm going to lose my mind."
So you got two associates of arts degrees, a bachelor's degree, and two master's degrees.
And two masters. Plus, I'm certified in the state of New York as a substance abuse counselor. And just in June of this year, I got my certification in Florida as a certified addiction professional. I think really what really got me started was when I got diagnosed with hepatitis C.
Well, let's drill that down because so now I'm thinking, you know, you're working in the prison system, counseling people, the height of the AIDS epidemic.
I was in the master's program in Sing Sing, and the nurse called the unit officer, and he told me that I had to report, you know, for annual physical. So I go. So she tells me, "Listen, you've been tested for everything throughout all these years. You're in perfect health, but you've never been tested for hepatitis C." I said, "Okay." I didn't think anything of it. And it had been, over 15 years?
Well, and did you even really know what hepatitis C was?
No. I went. I gave her the blood. Because I said, "Well, you know, what does this test entail?" And, you know, "We just draw blood and send it to the lab." Okay, fine. So about 2 weeks later, I get another call. Union officer says, "Yo, you have to immediately report to the hospital." So the nurse calls me in and she says, "Mr. Torres," I said, "we got the results back of your blood test." I said, "Okay. So what'd you find? Nothing, right?" She said, "No. Sorry to tell you, you have HCV. I said, "Okay, what is HCV? She said, "It's called hepatitis C virus." I said, "So do you have any information here on it?" She said, "No." Mm-hmm. I said, "Am I dying?" She said, "Man, listen, it's gonna be like 20, 30 years. I said, "Okay, by the time I'll be collecting Social Security, I'm good."
What are some, you know, common things that people should know about hepatitis C? And are there any misconceptions? There's a lot of people walking around, they say, "Oh, maybe, you know, as many as 2 million people have hepatitis C and don't even know it.
Actually, I think the numbers are maybe twice as high.
Yeah.
I think they're saying there's about 4.1 million people walking around.
That don't know it.
That don't know that they have hepatitis C. And
what can that mean for somebody?
It can mean liver failure, death, other complications, because depending on what other types of medical issues they may have, if your liver's not functioning right, it may impact your kidneys, liver cancer. And then you got people, you know, they're drinking. Some of them are social drinkers. Some of them are heavy drinkers. And what happens is they already have hepatitis C.
Cirrhosis.
And they're drinking. We have cirrhosis of the liver. And, you know, once you reach a certain stage, you know, it's going to be nearly impossible, and you're going to end up needing a transplant.
So what's your best advice? What do you tell people? Get tested, and if you do test positive...
If you do test positive, go every 90 days to get your blood tested to measure your liver enzymes to make sure that your liver is not getting worse. Because initially, they're not going to give you the treatment until they see that you have a very high viral load. You know, because the cost of the medications is really expensive.
Yeah. I think one of the most encouraging things, and you know that I talk to so many people with tons of different diseases, I think as bad as hepatitis C can be, there isn't, you know, quote unquote, a cure. And there is a genotype with hepatitis C, and that with treatment, you can clear the viral load and actually not be suffering from this condition anymore, which is different than a lot of chronic illnesses.
Well, for me, what I was fortunate is that when I finally came home, is that I found out what my genotype was. I was genotype 1A, the worst that you can have. But on the other hand, the good thing was that 1 month after starting treatment, my body had already started to respond to the treatment. So by the time the first 60 days, I was already clear in my first 60 days. And so
but
I went
to stick with it.
But I had to stick with it. And I did it for 12 months.
Side effects brutal?
For me, what it was, I was became very sensitive to touch. It definitely affected my personality. It brought out a very much more aggressive side. But I was lucky because I had a prior education about hepatitis C. And so what happened was that when I recognized that I was getting aggravated, or that I was getting angry, or that I was feeling volatile, I knew that it wasn't me. I knew it was the side effects of the medication. And so what I did was I got the one thing that helped soothe me, my iPod. Listening to music
calmed you down.
Calmed me down and helped me work my way through the side effects. And so what happened is there was never any confrontation in the home, because the moment they saw me like this, my family already knew it was the medication. Thankfully, I got a lot of good 80s music that got me through mine.
So tell me, biggest accomplishment? What are you the most, I mean, I know what you're the most ashamed of, your darkest, worst moment, taking that man's life. What is your proudest accomplishment?
That I was able to take all that negative stuff and turn it into a positive. That I was able to say, okay, this is who you were, but this isn't who you have to be for the rest of your life. This isn't who you were born to be. You were born to be somebody else. So you got sidetracked. It's time to get back on what you need to do.
That's, you know, I started off this interview by saying, you know, you probably have a lot of guardian angels. Your name is Angels. I think that that's hopefully something that you've been able to really do positive for people, is to see that there is redemption, there is forgiveness, and that a terrible, terrible mistake you've tried to right, and that your life is actually vastly different than what it could have been.
That is one part of my life that I am so very much ashamed of. But I talk about it because it's what got me to where I am today.
Do you still have guilt every day?
Every day. There hasn't been a day that's gone by that I haven't felt guilt. I still haven't completely forgiven myself.
I don't know, maybe you won't.
No, I've learned to live with it, but I don't think I'll ever really forgive myself, because it was such a selfish act.
You know what the name of this show is? Courage, right? I think it's really courageous that you've shared this with me and our viewers, that you would talk about something very very intense and something that can be embarrassing. But I think that you really define what it means to be a courageous dude. And I love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Angel's story. You know, when I was presented with the opportunity to first meet Angel and have a chance to interview him, I was a little nervous. I kind of thought, I don't know if I want to talk to and get to know, honestly, somebody that had taken another's life. And I think for me, it's been a real learning experience about forgiveness and understanding. And I know that Angel worked a long time to forgive himself too. And when he was leaving from his interview, I said to him, you know, Angel, in the second chapter of your life, you're really living up to your name. So it's never too late for a second chance to start over. The other thing that just really was pronounced to me is in thinking about Angel with this hepatitis C, that there's 6 million people in the United States estimated that have the virus, and 4 million of those people don't even know it. So thanks for that message of awareness, Angel. And I want to thank you, our great audience, for coming on and listening and watching these stories. So if you want to check out more, head over to courage.tv. You can check out past episodes and stay up to date to what we're bringing you in the future. Follow us on Facebook. You know I love that. And Twitter. So stay connected. And if you want to be on the show, shoot me an email. I'm sure somebody you know has a courageous story, and it might even be your own. So you can email me at brenda@courage.tv. So from everyone here at Courage, we are truly thankful. We love you being a part of this community. And thanks for watching. Until next time, I'm Brenda. See you soon. Bye-bye.